Tim Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich. It's Out of Bounds on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Who do you play for?
Play for the United States of America.
It's been 35 long years. Clemson has been waiting 35 years. It's finally coming home, baby. It's coming home.
Social experiments. USA. 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 USA.
Okay, okay. USA. You know, what does that even prove, okay? You chant anything, people will join in. Canada! 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 Okay, they won't chant anything.
You blitz all night! And if they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm gonna take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's hear it, gentlemen. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's go play some football. Let's go.
What is Chandler Bing's job?
Oh, gosh. This has something to do with numbers and processing. Well, yeah, it carries a briefcase.
Yeah. 10 seconds. You need this or you lose the game.
It has something to do with transponding. Oh, he's a transponster.
Like you stole something, Mr. Bosley.
You are looking live at Clemson Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina, where the game of the weekend is about to unfold.
Calma, regresa al backfield. De Sean Watson, pase, touchdown! Touchdown, Clemson! Renzo! Con un segundo!
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really, a lot of hustle. I liked it.
How great is this? This could be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold him out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play.
And Clemson runs out of the field and celebrates. They come to California and strike gold. The golden scepter is ours. Clemson downs Alabama 44-16 to win their second national championship in 3 years and their third overall.
Now, Kwok and Kelly.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us here on WCCP 105.5 The Roar. It is Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, my man Zach Orr, Mr. Orr 24. Phil in Kelly's chair today. How the heck are you, my man?
Man, how are you?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. I'm just wonderful. Just peachy today.
I had a first segment planned out here because you were running a tad late.
Yeah, you're right.
123 traffic out
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
So if you're heading on 123.
I don't know what's happening coming from Seneca to Clemson on 123, but it ain't moving.
Yep.
Ain't nobody going anywhere. So anyway, but you had the first segment planned. What was the plan? We'll see if it's better than mine.
I was going
to
eat my peanut butter and jelly on air and see if people could guess what kind of jelly I was using.
Oh, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Strawberry rhubarb for those at home that had it.
That is incredible. I love that. We may do that later, depending on how, these first couple segments go.
Sure.
654-ROARS, the number 654-7627 on the Northland Communication phone lines. This hour brought to you by our friends at Zero Res. Impress your friends and family with a clean home. Zero Res brings a whole new meaning to clean carpets. They're just like new, so they use Empower Water. There's no residue odors, toxic chemicals left behind. Spell it backwards or forwards. It's a right way to clean. Call 558-7300. No one can clean like Zero Res. Let me just run this by you, okay? Let me run this by you. This is things I want to talk about today, all right? Of course, we're going to talk Clemson basketball. I thought Clemson baseball got a win that probably, with the basketball news and the basketball performance from yesterday, probably got overshadowed a bit, but a huge win for Clemson baseball last night, so we'll talk about that. Also, more March Madness stuff. We got games coming from all over the fruited plain. And yet, as is the usual case, the TV is on the Golf Channel. That's interesting. But we do have the players this weekend, so I guess that's why. We have Pro Day stuff today. I actually want to get your general thoughts on Pro Days, whether they do or do not matter at all. in our conversation. And then finally, I was so sad yesterday. I was in the car early, and so I got to listen to a lot of the Mickey Plyler show. And I was so sad for you, buddy. I was. Are you feeling a little better today? I mean, is it like, could you compare the feeling, the melancholy, the depression feel from yesterday to where it is today?
What are the stages of grief, right? It's sadness followed by anger. I'm in the anger zone right now.
Okay.
Like, I hate Dave Gettleman and everything he stands for.
Can we throw eggs at other people's houses? Because I want you to feel bad. Because the Giants aren't the only one that are totally ruining this.
Sure.
So I felt like just for you in your moment of grief, we could throw eggs at other people's houses who also are ruining free agency.
I'm all for it, buddy. Let's
throw. Good. I don't want to talk about anything good. I think John's producing a show with me tomorrow. I think that's right.
Is he?
And
you can't get Kelly Graham to work.
I don't know.
Anymore.
That's what I'm saying. She's gonna call in tomorrow and just tell people what she's doing.
Uh-huh.
She was like, "Quack, I just can't. I'm too swamped today. I'm just too swamped. I can't do it today. But I'd love to call tomorrow." And I say, "You know what? That'd be great because people are gonna be asking questions. People are gonna be asking questions. Why are you not here on the day after Clemson blows the second largest lead in ACC tournament history? Why are you bowing out, Kelly Gramley?
Didn't want to answer the bell here, evidently."
That's right. But you know what? That's why you're here, buddy.
Six hours of it. I'm ready for it. Whatever you guys want to do.
Anyway, so all that sounds good, right? Throwing eggs at people's houses, NFL, all that stuff. We good with that. All right. Clemson basketball. There are a number of ways to look at the game yesterday. I think one of the big mistakes that people have made is picking a lane and staying in it. I just think that's, I think that's a little bit weird just with this standpoint. There is no one reason why you blow an 18-point lead. There is no one reason why you lose a game like that. You could grade reasons. You could list them. You could try to figure out which is more important. I saw some of that nuanced conversation yesterday. There's no one reason why you lose a game where you're up by double digits at half. There's no one reason for that. I heard a lot of this conversation, too, yesterday. And again, we're going to get into all this. I want to get this stuff out of the way first. I heard a lot of this, and I don't disagree with the premise of this. I don't disagree with the premise that you can't do stuff. Basketball-wise in particular, but, I mean, there's a lot of it. You can't. You can't, you know, you can't get down 20-2. You can't blow an 18-point lead. You can't miss free throws down the stretch. You can't miss, 10 minutes worth of shots. You can't do this. You're not winning. The reality is in a lot of those, there's a before and after you can't. So, for instance, Zach, I want to run this by you. One thing I thought yesterday was, the first thing I thought was, well, you can't blow an 18-point lead. You can't do it. 36-18, you're controlling the game. You can't blow that. You can't go 10 minutes without a basket. You know what else you can't do, though, because you're not going to win? You can't get down 18 in the first half. You can't come out totally flatline in an ACC tournament game with your NCAA tournament hopes on the ropes. You can't have a bunch of dudes in foul. You can't have poor shot selection in the first half of a game. Guess who did all those things and won yesterday? NC State. There were a lot of things Clemson did that you can't do. But let's not pretend that Clemson was the only one that did things that you can't do. And that's where you get down to the end of the game, where NC State did things you can't do. Miss all your threes early in the game, take horrible shots, not hustle back on defense, did not bring energy into the building, got down by 18 in the first half, was down double digits at halftime. You can't do any of that and win. You also can't go 10 minutes without a basket, have the pace dictated to you for 20 minutes after halftime. Miss free throws, have your big man foul out 30 feet from the basket, all that stuff. You got a foul at the end of the game, all that. You can't do any of that stuff. And yet one team that did a lot of stuff you can't do won the game. So I want to set up that conversation. I was for whatever reason, I was particularly struck by the number of things NC State did that if we were breaking down an NC State loss, we would say, you can't do that and win. You can't do that and win. You can't do that and win. I thought both teams did a lot of stuff you can't do. And NC State ended up winning the game. And if the foul's not called at the end, or if the play is officiated correctly at the end of the game, the stuff that Clemson did that you can't do probably doesn't matter as much as the stuff NC State did that you can't do. Are you buying what I'm selling on that front, Zach?
Two things there. if you'll permit me to do
sure, that. Absolutely. Yeah, two absolutely.
Things. One, those NC State mistakes, they happened in the first half, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And those Clemson mistakes, they happened when?
They happened in the second half.
Exactly right. Would you permit me to put out the following, that there was adjustments made at halftime on one side and just a conversation had on the other?
I think that's fair. I think it's fair.
Furthermore, would you say that the adjustments made during the second half were one-sided as well? And the track record for one particular team that was playing yesterday suggests that they've struggled all season long with second-half adjustments in the end of games. And you had a better opportunity being the team to make the first half mistakes than the second half team yesterday.
That is correct, yes.
Okay.
I think down the stretch, you'd rather be better in the second half. Look, I can recall a game, and I don't want to act flippantly about blowing 20-point leads, because let's be clear, no 20-point lead has ever been blown in an ACC tournament. I mean, the only lead larger than that one at halftime that was blown was a 19-point lead. I think Maryland won or lost that game in 2004. So, I don't want to just trivialize that.
So, you were the only member of the conference to have this bad of a blown lead in ACC tournament history, no? Maryland's gone.
That is correct. I can't remember if Maryland won or lost that game in 04. I'd have to go back and check. But Maryland was a part of that. No game featuring two teams currently in the conference has had a blown lead of that magnitude at halftime. That's true. That's statistically true in the 65 years or whatever it is of ACC basketball.
Okay.
And you're right that Kevin Keats went into the locker room. That is a nuanced thing, because if things are going well, then you don't need to adjust all that much. You might just say, let's go do it again. You might say that. But I think the anticipation of Kevin Keats, who's a very good coach, who has a background of getting teams ready for postseason. He made the tournament twice by winning his league at UNC Wilmington. He has a background of being a good adjuster at the half, although that didn't work against Georgia Tech when they shot a million times more than Georgia Tech and lost at home. There's some flubs in there, but sure. By and large, if especially for the reasons that Clemson was ahead, Zach, I mean, I thought the primary reasons that Clemson were ahead, and if you watch the TV broadcast, the ESPN broadcast, I thought Dan Dockage was great on the call yesterday. People hate Dockage. That's my guy, because I always learn something when I watch him. One thing he talked about yesterday, and he talked about it ad nauseum, was how NC State was not getting back on defense, and Clemson was just running out, was basically just outworking NC State in the first half.
We had outlet runaway dunks happening.
What was that? Three-on-two, two-on-one situation.
What was happening there?
What was that about? Anyway, if effort was the issue in the first half, then you know going into halftime that Kevin Keats is going to coach effort with his guys in the second half. And I think it's clear that Clemson wanted it more. They were the more desirous team. They were the more aggressive team in the first half. And that NC State, I'm not sure that, I'm not saying that Clemson flipped the script and didn't care in the second half. I don't think that was the issue. But I thought NC State matched the level of intensity in the second half. Furthermore, I thought Clemson was dictated to in the second half. And I thought it was allowed to happen with poor shot selection and with a little bit of NC State playmaking. Markell Johnson went off in basically isolation basketball in a way that would have made Randolph Childress proud if his team wasn't one in barbecue, right? Two in barbecue is the phrase, but I'm saying one in barbecue and sitting home on the couch. I mean, he was brilliant. He made some very difficult shots, but they kind of put Clemson in those situations because Clemson was willing to switch bigs onto him, and so he had confidence and stepped up and drained some jumpers. Those are the reasons you lost in the second half, I thought. Poor shot selection on one end, and then one guy basically just got comfortable in the gym playing isolation basketball on switches against fours and fives.
The halftime message for Keats is effort. That's what you're saying now.
I think so.
The halftime message for Brownell is, let's do it again. Let's do more of the same.
I think that makes sense.
At that point in time, Elijah Thomas had three fouls going into halftime.
Yes.
Right? You were going into half knowing he's going to miss a chunk of that second half because of his foul trouble. At that point in time, Sheldon Mitchell, and this would be true for the rest of the game, had yet to hit a shot inside the three-point arc.
Yes.
You have to go to the foul line.
Yes.
At that point in time, I believe Marquise Reed had one shot inside the three-point arc. He only made two on the day.
He may. I think he had 9 points at a half and made three threes.
Okay, so he
I think
was,
he had. He nine. I think that's right. Yeah, that's right. He was 0-for-5 from two in the first half.
So for a team that has,
by
shot,
the way, Thomas had two. He got his third early in the second half. Yeah,
point remains because he was going to be in foul trouble anyway.
That's right.
For a team that has shot in the low 30s in terms of 3-point percentage, what they did in the first half was probably not going to be sustainable in the second.
Correct.
So do it again. Let's do it the same way. That couldn't possibly have been the message.
Well, I think the way they were playing was good enough.
Yeah.
But they were getting the runouts, and of course they were making threes. They made 7 of their first 8 threes, and then they were just 1 of 5 to close the half. And that's kind of when NC State made their run to cut it back to the deficit it was at half. What was it, 12 at half? 12 points, 16, but whatever it was.
It was 16 and a half.
16.
Largely was 18 in the first half, 16 going into half.
42-26. It was 36-18 at one point. NC State, I think it was like a 6-0 run to cut it to 12, and then it got built back to 16.
Yep.
I think it's fair to suggest, and again, Dan Dockett said this on the broadcast, that you're not going to keep going 7-for-8 from three. You're not going to keep doing it. I think his quote was, you're going to miss 10 at some point. You're going to miss some threes. And Clemson was 1 of 10 from three in the second half. I haven't gone back and watched with this much detail, but I gotta believe that a lot of the issues offensively in the first half, in the second half, were more about, once again, execution and being dictated to than they were about missing open shots. I thought against Virginia in the first half, I kind of got ripped on Twitter for saying this, against Virginia in the first half of the first meeting, Clemson got good shots and missed them. I think that's very different than Clemson took bad shots. I thought in the first half against Syracuse, early in the game, Clemson was getting good shots and missing them. And that's different from getting bad shots. I thought the home game against Florida State, Clemson got bad shots. And I thought in the second half against NC State yesterday, Clemson was taking bad shots. Generally speaking, the offense wasn't very good. You went 10 minutes without a basket because you took bad shots. Now, I thought NC State was pretty bad offensively in the first half, too. I thought some of that was that Clemson was outworking them, flat outworking them. So I think there are a lot of culprits for the game. I want to talk about the calls at the end and all that, but I wanted to set it up by saying I think the way the game played out was particularly interesting because I think if the last play is officiated on the floor or if there's no whistle there and Johnson misses the shot and Clemson gets the rebound or any of that stuff and the game's over, then we're talking about all the things NC State can't do if you want to win. Does that make sense, Zach? Like, we're legitimately talking about all the things Clemson did that you can't do if you want to win. But NC State did some of those things, too. And because they won, we're not talking about any of those. If Clemson wins by one yesterday, we're not really, unless you really want Brad Brownell fired, which is some of you out there, you're not really focused on what Clemson can do. And the NC State media is talking about, well, you can't dig yourself an 18-point hole. You can't be 1 of whatever from three in the first half. NC State was 1 for 10 at the half from three. You can't take bad shots. You cannot give effort in the first half. They were flat.
This is what we do as a civilization, as a whole. The victor writes the history books, right?
That's true. Profound.
Whoever wins writes those history books.
Because the loser's dead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
NC State won yesterday. They're going to write that book. It's not the fact that they were down 18 in the first half, 16 going into halftime. They couldn't buy a bucket. Their three-point defense was abysmal. It's the fact they came all the way back. The fact that they hit those two free throws at the end of the game and ended up winning a game that, quite frankly, they shouldn't have won yesterday.
That's true.
What it's about. That's what it's always going to be about. So I appreciate the outlook, but I think you're going to have a hard time convincing people of it.
Yeah, 654 roars the number. I want to get folks' take on it because I do think there's more than one ways to look at this. I want to know how you feel and how you are dissecting this news. I also want to look at Clemson's resume, the good and the bad in terms of NCAA tournament inclusion. I believe that the winner was in and the loser was out, at least for the time being. It would have been harder from my perspective, and we got to go to break on this. It would have been harder from my perspective to go from out of the tournament after that game yesterday to back in than it will be for whichever team is in the tournament, in this case NC State, to go out of it, if that makes sense. It's more likely that the loser was out than the winner was in. Actually, it was said a lot better than that by a couple people online. We'll get to that in just a second, too. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds. We got a lot more discussion today. We'll do it next.
Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road in Greenville is the ultimate sports lodge you've been searching for. It's your local source for sports on wall-to-wall TVs and the most scenic views in the market. Everything on this fan-favorite menu is made from scratch and guaranteed to please.
Pair the new Nashville Hot Chicken Sandwich with a local market brew served at a frosty 29 degrees by a beautiful Twin Peaks girl. Located on Woodruff Road in Greenville, Twin Peaks eats, drinks, scenic views.
Our bodies naturally only use 10 to 25% of the protein we consume for muscle building. With Optinos, over 70% of the protein you consume will be used for muscle repair and development rather than just being used as fuel. Optinos works on the genetic level that activates protein synthesis in muscle tissues to help the body build more muscle faster. This allows your body to break down carbs and fats into energy. Order Optinos at UpstateMuscle.com. That's UpstateMuscle.com. Never waste a workout.
90 days, that's how long it takes for the healthcare program to transform your body and your health. Walt here, and it's hard to believe we're already in March. So 90 days from now is June. 3 months will fly by in no time. Imagine losing a bunch of weight, reversing the symptoms of type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol, and sleep apnea in just 3 months. That's what the healthcare program does. You just need to book your free consultation at iDareGreenville.com. The healthcare 90-day program is not a magic pill or hard diet. No gym memberships. You can even eat carbs and fast food. It's a lifestyle change, and it's easy to do. Their health coaching team and education staff gets behind you all the way. They won't let you lose. Book your free consultation with the health there. Dedicate 3 little months to getting back to health. Do it for yourself. Do it for your family. Make the next 90 days your best ever. Book your free consultation with the health there. Go to iDareGreenville.com. That's iDareGreenville.com.
The first weekend of the NCAA tournament is the greatest betting event of the year. Whether you like filling out a bracket, picking a national champion, predicting first-round upsets, or all of the above, MyBookie is the perfect home for your March Madness fun. Will Zion Williamson and his teammates cement their legacy at Duke with a title? Can Virginia get past its loss to a 16 seed last year? And can Kentucky get back to the Final Four? If you know the answers, or even if you don't, MyBookie is the place to get in on the action. They have something for everyone, even you. You multiple bracket guy, MyBookie has been in business for years. Their goal is to give you the best customer service in the business. And the best part is, they pay out fast when you win. I'm talking 48 hours. Bet with the best. Then kick back and enjoy March Madness while you watch your picks cash in. Deposit with MyBookie today with promo code RADIO for a 50% sign-up bonus. That's promo code RADIO. With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
Let us bring your new Honda directly to you. Hendrick Honda Easley now offers direct on-site demos of your new Honda. Don't want to deal with traffic? Hendrick Honda Easley will bring your new Honda to your work, home, or church. Call today to schedule your personal on-site car buying experience from Hendrick Honda Easley. Call 864-855-1234 or visit ilovehendrickhondaeasley.com. Again, ilovehendrickhondaeasley.com. Experience a world-class difference at Hendrick Honda Easley.
It's Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
No.
Back to Quag and Kelly.
I got my first real six string. Boy, it at the five and dime. Played it till my fingers bled.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. You just said, what about Dexter Lawrence at Pro Day? What was that, the commentary there?
Anna Hickey on Twitter about 28 seconds ago saying Dexter, quoted as saying he's 90% today at Pro Day after suffering a quad injury at the Combine. Still disappointed he ran a 5.05 at 342 pounds. Said he thought he had a 4.99 in him.
Wow. Okay. You buy Pro Days? First of all, well, we can talk about the combine a little bit. What do you think is helpful in pro days? What's your take
pro
on
pro days are helpful for quarterbacks?
For okay.
Throwing.
Yes.
I think Kyler Murray made himself some money yesterday. 61 and 67 at his pro day over there. Didn't run the 40, though, because that's never going to happen, I guess. Didn't get measured in terms of his height again. That's not going to happen again.
Right.
I guess.
In fact, I'm not even sure anyone will know his real height from now till the day he dies.
No, I agree with you. as far as the rest of it, the only way Pro Day is worth it or it helps, it's got to be for the guys that didn't get the invite to the combine, right?
I would think so. Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
I'm not sure what else it's for, because here's the reality. Did you read any of the, and we're getting back to the thing we were talking about. We'll get to the phones in a second, but I want to just make this point real quick. Did you read any of the stuff that ESPN, the long form piece they did on the combine, being an indie and all that stuff? You see any of that?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who wrote it. Basically, every time they talked to evaluators, everyone was like, yeah, I mean, we know this doesn't matter, but what are you going to do? I mean, legitimately, the GMs and the executives, every conversation, they're like, and, you know, we went to St. Elmo's and over, you know, after a couple drinks, everyone was like, well,
yeah,
we may as well get hammered because we don't know why we're here, but we just do it. I mean, it seems like a giant waste of time that's only for TV ratings based on that story.
It's for TV ratings. It's for that one guy that makes himself a first-round pick that shouldn't be. Hello, DJ Metcalf.
Yep.
Other than that, I mean, I guess it's team meetings, but they can do that. They can meet with these players at their individual pro days and have them in for private workouts, can't they, before the draft?
Yes.
So, I mean, what are we doing the pro day for?
Pro day has got to be for the fringe prospects.
It helps for your team. Indianapolis gets a little kickback for hosting it every single
year. Yeah, you're right about that, buddy.
With their $106 million war chest they have going into the offseason, so I'm sure they really need it.
Yeah, they could sign 10 more clones of Devin Funchess.
Oh, boy, I'm really
fantastic.
Excited for that.
Oof.
What a signing.
Woo! Let's go back to the Northern Communication phone lines here. Concrete Kevin out of Greenville is up with us next. 654 Roars, the number you want to join him. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, what's going on, Clark? How you doing today?
Doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Cool, man. It's nice to hear Zach in there today, filling in for Kelly. Doing a good job as always.
For sure.
Hey, just a couple takes on what you were saying. I think it's a unique perspective that you have, and I'm totally down with it. I think the word can't in sports and what you can and can't do is a lot like the word goat. It's just totally overused. Obviously, all those things that you can't do yesterday for both teams, what it came down to was two free throws in the last 2 seconds. So I think it definitely makes things more difficult, makes the team's job, much harder to accomplish as far as getting a W. And then as far as what Zach was saying, definitely I want to be the team in the second half that makes the adjustments. I mean, I would rather have a 16-point lead and go out or have a 16-point deficit at halftime then come back out and hit 6 out of 31 shots in the second half. I felt really sour after that game yesterday. I really hated for the coach. I think whoever is tweeting to Amari Sims and sending them DBs, you know, really needs to check themselves. I think this team has demonstrated throughout the course of the year a relentless pursuit to win, and it's just really unfortunate, and there's a lot of different reasons, and I'm not inside the locker room, so I'm not even going to speculate as to why that hadn't happened at the end of the games. But, I think this team's displayed a lot of heart throughout the course of the year, and, naturally it's really easy to say, well, hey, man, we had two fouls called in the entire second half, and then we had four within the last minute. And point to officiating, but it really just came down to execution. And, NC State, they made the adjustments. Tip my hat off to them. And unfortunately, you know, we couldn't make the plays in the second half. One thing that I would like to point out is the whistle was really flowing that last minute. You know, when Thomas, he stepped out on the three-point line. That could have went either way. I think that foul was kind of a knucklehead play on his part, but it was a touch foul. The ref was definitely out of position to make that call on the final drive. But what I can't for the life of me understand is when Trapp had two hands around the guy's waist, intentionally trying to foul, with about, 7-8 seconds left before he went into his drive. Why they missed that one? I mean, if the whistles were blowing so freely and we were intentionally trying to foul a guy because we had three to give in the last minute, why that one was missed? I would have really preferred to have NC State in-ball the ball or inbound the ball with about 4 or 5 seconds left. Us be fully set and see what happens. But anyway, I think that's a really interesting point. Obviously, you know, you can do a lot of things and come back and still win a basketball game. And, you know, that was a case in point yesterday. It was a tale of two halves. And one quick thing about Kyler Murray, as far as his height, he's kind of the short man version of Kevin Garnett. You know, like, I don't think anyone's ever going to know how tall that dude is, just like with KG. But anyway, I'll take my comments off the air.
You know, that's an interesting comparison, Kevin. Thanks very much. That was good stuff. You know, we'll get back to Kyler in a second because I do think that's an interesting point that, you know, once you get measured in a way that benefits you, you don't want to ever get measured again. So we'll just leave it at that. From the standpoint of Clemson at the end, I think there are a lot of factors in there, and I'm just going to give you the perspective. I don't know what Brad Brunell's stance necessarily is on this. I don't know what was communicated and what was not communicated there, what they were trying to do. And that's kind of the point.
I do.
You do?
He talked about it in his presser.
He talked about it in the press conference. Yeah. What did he say they were trying to do there?
They were trying to foul.
Okay, right there at the very end.
At the very end.
Right?
They were trying to foul. He's a slippery guy was his quote, and he got away. He made a play.
Okay. I heard that quote. What I mean is like the last minute 10 or so, where you've got two fouls and you got four to give.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what, and I'm trying to get in a rational mind of a group of officials who very clearly, we have people call in every now and then and say, why aren't fouls at the end of the game intentional fouls? It's because we kind of have a tacit agreement that when you're trying to foul for reasons of protecting the ability to win the game, If you're fouling for competitive reasons and only because it's a tactical choice at the end of the game and not because you don't want that player to get that basket and so you're going to foul him intentionally, then we're not going to call an intentional foul. And so refs will kind of like play along with you, right? I mean, they'll kind of play the game. They understand when you are and are not going to foul. I don't really know what Clemson was trying to do in the last minute. It seemed like at times they were trying to foul drivers. Trap fouled Johnson when he tried to get by him already once before. He'd done that earlier in the clock. I don't know, 50 seconds or whatever it was. A minute left, whatever. It might have been like the minute 7 or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Then Thomas gets his fifth foul, and I have two questions on that. One, was that foul call because Johnson was turning the corner and the officials assumed that Clemson was trying to foul drivers? And two, why is Thomas trying to hedge 30 feet from the basket when he's got four fouls anyway? So I got a little bit of a question about that. But I didn't really know if part of the reason that Thomas got called for what was a phantom foul is that the officials are trying to play along. If they thought Clemson was trying to use fouls and foul drivers and this kind of stuff, if they're trying to play along, do you see that as a potential reason, Zach?
I mean, the reason Thomas gets called there is maybe they're trying to play along. He's also a 6'10", was he 6'10", 6'9"? How big is Thomas?
About 6'9".
All right,
yeah.
So he's 6'9". He's 6'9", guarding 20 feet from the basket, reaching across the defender's body. How many times does that get called in basketball, even if it's not a save-the-game situation? All the time. You can't be hiding on the perimeter
doing that
as a center.
You can't swipe down.
You can't do it. So maybe they're trying to play along. At the end of the day, that's a bad foul by Thomas. You got to know what the situation is. You got to know that you're the rim protector at that point in time, and they're going to need you going down the stretch, and you blew it. You made a bonehead play.
One of the most popular things that I heard people complaining about yesterday was, and I want to get back to that because I thought the fact they made that call and didn't call some other stuff was interesting.
Sure.
But one of the things that was consistently being said, and I heard it on Walt's show yesterday afternoon, and throughout the morning when I've gotten a chance to listen, some people have brought it up. Feed the ball into Eli Thomas. Why did Thomas not get the ball? Why did they not play through Thomas more? They were just chucking up shots here in the second half. Why didn't they play through Thomas? And my response to that is, it seems good in theory, but it also seems like people don't really know what to say, and so they're just shouting. They're just yelling stuff, right? Because Eli Thomas had 7 shot attempts and 6 turnovers and 5 fouls yesterday.
He was bad.
Why do people think that giving it more to the guy who turned it over for every time he shot was a good idea? I think generally giving the ball to Thomas is a really good idea. I also thought yesterday on the floor, Javen White was a better player. Just personally. I mean, just watching at home. I didn't talk to any coaches. I didn't grade any film. I'm not doing that. What I'm saying is I don't think that was the reason that they lost, was that they didn't give it to the guy who turned over 6 times and fouled out in 18 minutes. I thought it was one of the worst games of his season yesterday. I thought they really couldn't throw it into him because he was obviously uncomfortable. NC State players were taking dives. They were going to flop with his back to the basket. They made him catch it in places he didn't want to catch it, and so he became uncomfortable. It became Eli that we saw against Florida State and not Eli that we saw against Syracuse, which was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. That was not the same player. And so you really couldn't give him the ball. I felt like you couldn't play through him like you maybe wanted to. It had to be a more guard-oriented game because he wasn't helping in that regard. He helped you on defense. The block at the end was a tremendous play and possibly a goal 10, and probably it was a goal 10 if they'd gone and reviewed it. But that was a critical play at the end of the game. You see, I think that's controversial to say that, but I feel like just because it generally is a good idea to go inside doesn't mean that in this particular game it was a good idea to go inside.
Is that more of a credit to NC State, or is that not a slight, but a critique of Elijah Thomas?
I think it's a little bit of both. I thought Eli forced. You remember the Florida State game? He got a couple baskets early, and then he tried to go like inside-out dribble, crossover, spin move on guys from the top of the key, and basically like threw up two bad shots and got a foul and then had to sit. I felt like he did that a couple times where he just did things that he can do but are not his strength. Part of that was NC State was allowing him to catch the ball out high, and they were not allowing him to catch the ball cleanly on the block. They did a pretty good job of that. And I felt like particularly in the way the game was played, that Clemson might have been able to force it into him some earlier. But also, when your three-point shot's falling, you shoot them because they're worth more than twos.
Sure.
So it was hard for him to get going in the game, and then he was in foul trouble in and out. He never was able to get into a rhythm on the floor. But that's the one criticism that I don't think is – I don't think that would have helped yesterday. Just statistically speaking, I don't think that would have helped. The guards had to win it for you. Not Eli Thomas had to win it for you yesterday, and they couldn't do it. You got Reed and Mitchell went combined 1-for-18 from two. It's not like they were out there chucking 30-footers all day. Anyway, we'll talk about this more on the other side. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds. We'll take your call. 654-ROAR is the number on the North Community Gage Volunteers. We'll take your text as well. We got some of those to get to. 986-1566 on the Health Air text line. Transform your body in 90 days, I dare you. With the Health Air. At Qualk Talk, at Mr. Or 24, at 105.5 The Roar. Back for more in a moment.
Tiger baseball hosts the Notre Dame Fighting Irish this weekend in a pivotal ACC home series for the Tigers. First pitch is set for 6 p.m. on Friday, 3 p.m. on Saturday, and 1 p.m. on Sunday with the pregame show beginning 30 minutes before each contest. Catch all the action right here on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Catch every exciting minute of Tiger baseball right here on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Are you all in? Show your love for the Tigers everywhere you go with your Clemson debit card. If you bleed orange and purple and want to show your team spirit, get your Clemson debit card today. Not a member? Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com or our Clemson office to see if you qualify for membership. So, be all in with your Clemson debit card and show your team spirit today. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA and a proud partner of the Clemson Tigers.
You've heard talk about Harbin Lumber's strong customer service and elite customer support. They know that time is make or break for you contractors and handymen. Harbin Lumber will walk you through the project from start to finish, providing your order in full and on time. Harbin Lumber will partner with you and find solutions that will not create costly issues and problems later. Call today at 353-5053. That's 353-5053. Harbin Lumber Company. All they need is an opportunity. They will earn the rest.
With over 8,000 certified pre-owned vehicles in their network, Henrik Honda Easley is ready to help you buy your next vehicle that will exceed your expectations. All their vehicles come with a warranty and your first maintenance included, and they even review repair orders with you to show they truly stand behind their product. Henrik Honda Easley wants you and your family to have a safe, reliable vehicle that you tell all your friends about. Check out their inventory at HendrickHondaSC.com. Again, that's HendrickHondaSC.com.
See how easy it is to turn your backyard into a fun yard with a custom home pool or vinyl pool from Aqua Pool Care. Imagine relaxing on your tanning ledge, overlooking cascading waterfalls, highlighted by custom LED lighting. Aqua Pool Care offers financing on your new virtually maintenance-free pool. Get that eco-friendly saltwater pool you've been dreaming about. Call the best builder in the upstate, Aqua Pool Care, at 508-1885. That's 508-1885. Make your yard fun.
I'm Tiffany Haddish, and I use Groupon so much, they made me the spokesperson. When you use Groupon to save up to $100 a week on what you do every day, you can use Groupon to save towards things you might not do every day. Save at a salon and have money to try out that new restaurant, go to a concert, or get a massage. The more you save, the more you can do. It's not rocket science. It's saving money. Hello? Download the app and save. Groupon.
J. Grady Randolph is hiring. Specializing in flatbed hauling since 1935, JGR has deep roots in the Carolinas and proudly supports the Clemson Tigers. Start your new career today by calling 864-761-4041. J. Grady Randolph offers competitive pay and free family health care coverage. Local and regional positions available. Call 864-761-4041 or get more information online at driveforjgr.com. That's driveforjgr.com.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth, you talk faster when your phone has only 1% battery left.
Hey, hon, what's up?
Hey, sweetie, can you pick up kitty litter fabric softener? Oh, the lemony fresh kind. And French vanilla non-dairy creamer on your way home from work.
What?
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
Why are you talking like that?
Gotta go. I'm taking Kevin to Taekwondo and I only have a...
Honey? Hello?
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
It's Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
You've been watching way too many Lifetime movies.
Now, back to Clark and Kelly.
Oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said,
hour one continues Out of Bounds. William Quaggenbush, Zach Orr with you here. And the North End Communication phone line is open. 654-ROAR is the number. 654-7627. We're live in the Priority One Security Studios. Priority, the number one, security.com. Priority One Security, serious security. A couple more things on Clemson NC State from yesterday. You go from 16 of 31 in the first half to 6 of 31 in the second half. There's obviously going to be multiple reasons why. I still really don't understand people who are like locked into, no, that's not a reason why they lost. This is the reason why they lost. It could be a number of things. It could be a bunch of stuff. The reasons why they lost. I do think that the offense that they ran for basically 15 minutes of the second half was just not going to get you any baskets. For the most part, they were taking just not great shots. It was either ill-advised threes late in the clock, the wrong guys taking threes from the wrong spots. It looked like a team who had been making everything that they shot earlier and thought that that would just magically reappear. But that's kind of what it looked like to me. And I give NC State a lot of credit, too, because this is the fine line that Clemson walked this year. And I'm gonna start talking about the season in the past tense a little bit because it's over.
It's over.
It's over, right? I mean, you know, NCAA tournament, NIT, whatever. The regular season part of it is over. The resume part is over. Everything else, gravy.
You're probably going the NIT.
Yeah, I would think so.
Lenardi's got you on the first four out right now. That's been updated since last night. All right. I mean, unless things go really your way in the next couple of days and hours here, it's over.
Yeah, and we'll talk about how it could and why it probably won't. You know, but when we look at Clemson's resume, it's pretty clear. But I do wonder, like, remember at the end, it was toward the end of the game. I don't know, maybe 3 minutes left or something like that. Reed gets a drive to the left side and he tried to lay up with the right hand. I think he was trying to get fouled. There was a little bit of contact on the arm. Do you remember this play? He's driving left. He goes up with his right on a layup and misses it. Okay. 3 minutes, 2 minutes, something like that left in the game. He misses it. There was marginal contact. He didn't fall, but it was marginal. It was a similar amount of contact to the actual contact on the ground before the shot against Markell Johnson. Here's my point on this. I thought the contact of Markell Johnson was pretty significant on the ground, but not significant enough to signify to the ref, we're definitely trying to foul right here. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
When Trapp fouled him, it was strong, but not strong enough because Johnson kept going. Then there was like cursory contact, a little bit of a slap on the arm while he's gathering the ball to go up, which is not a continuation. That should not be a shooting foul by rule. Should not be a shooting foul. But then because Johnson fell and because the official wasn't in good position to make that particular call, he gets the benefit of the doubt. During the 10-minute stretch where Clemson wasn't making any shots, there were a number of times where Reed and Mitchell would go up and get fouled with marginal contact and it wasn't called. It seemed like if you went to the mid-range, if you got close to the hole and there was marginal contact when you were in the air, they were not calling that, except for right there at the end of the game. I also think that for Clemson, it is particularly frustrating that even though they were two separate situations, that we were told by people trying to sort of speak down to us, to talk down to us, oh, you're not going to get that call at the end of the game if you just drive in there. You're not going to do that. It was a little stewy in there. I'm not sure. It was supposed to be wine and cheese, but it was a little stewy. Regardless, we were told by the wine and cheese crowd, remember that? We were told by the Tar Heel fans to sit down and shut up because you're not getting that call at the end of the game. You're not getting that call, you whiners. When Mitchell goes up, gets hit by two guys, and doesn't get the call. We were told that. At the end of games, you're not getting that call. You're not getting it. You're not getting it. Nobody's getting that call. It's not just you. Deal with it, you bums. That's what people told us, right?
Whiners. Whipped cream.
I'm not mischaracterizing this, right?
No, you're
Everyone was
you're
like, oh,
right.
If you don't know this, then you don't understand basketball. You don't get it.
So, in your eyes,
the butlers fans, everywhere are telling us.
North Carolina fans are talking babies that drink wine and eat cheese all day. That's what they are.
That's true.
Okay.
You know, you folks can sit down and shut up. You don't understand basketball or how this officiating thing works. Mm-hmm. Let us mansplain it to you from our ivory tower.
Jeez.
Okay, remember that?
Yes.
Then you come on the other side and you get hosed on the very same thing. The call that was not supposed to be made. The minor cursory contact on a player putting the ball on the deck and driving to the basket. We just were told a week and a half ago that's not going to be called. It was called. And you bore the brunt both times. So which one is it to the wine and cheese ivory tower crowd? Which one is it? Because we're told that it's never called. That no one gets that call. That it's not just you this time, but they are not going to call it. My contention is that they will call it for North Carolina in their favor, and they will until the ACC disbands at the Rapture. North Carolina's always getting that call. But again, the North Carolina fans, because they're insecure about the fact that they always get the calls, they will tell you, no one gets that call ever. To which Clemson fans will respond, Exhibit A yesterday. Somebody got that call. Very clearly somebody got that call yesterday. I'm sorry, don't say nobody gets that call because Clemson's gotten hosed by that call twice. One time when it wasn't given, one time when it was given. The foul was on the floor. It was negligible contact in a situation where Clemson maybe or maybe not was trying to foul. It was clear from the explanation after, but not so much on the floor what they were actually trying to do. They missed the one foul. They missed the other foul. And then they called basically the guy falling down. I would argue that if Markell Johnson doesn't fall on his face in perfect Duke basketball fashion, if he doesn't fall on his face, Eli Thomas stays in the game. And Clemson wins by one. They officiated a guy falling twice. They officiated a phantom no call because Johnson tried to turn the corner like he got hit in the hip by Eli Thomas when he didn't touch him. He tried to turn the corner. He slipped down. They called the contact. That wasn't there. And then they officiated the other play because Markell Johnson threw himself. I'm trying to think of a good example. Like Fight Club. It's like Fight Club. You know when he's like fighting himself in Fight Club?
I don't know what you're
talking
about.
He's beating himself up. Oh, you're not supposed to talk about. I'm sorry. In that movie, you're not supposed to talk about. Rule number one. I just broke rule number one.
My goodness.
Yeah, so I'm out of the Fight Club.
But yes, I'm familiar with the scene you're talking about.
You see my point? Mm-hmm. Markell Johnson threw himself in a way that was not the contact. We call that flopping sometimes. And because he fell, he got two foul calls at the end of the game. And they were significant calls. And so if you're a Clemson fan right now and you're not just automatically mad at the coaches whenever somebody misses a layup or something, then you have to feel aggrieved by that. You have to, even if you think they could have coached the game better, the players could have played better, they were sloppy, they were complacent, they played not to lose instead of to win. Even if you believe all that stuff, you have to feel aggrieved because we were just told that nobody wins a game the way North Carolina just beat you yesterday.
Then how is it that only the fan base seems to feel this way?
There were, like, Jay Billis and folk, like, there were national folks saying that Clemson was hosed yesterday.
I don't care about the national folks. I care about the local folks here, the staff, the players over there. I mean, where's the passion there in that postgame?
I feel like that's a tough spot. Look, I think if Brad Brownell came out and, this is my honest opinion.
Yeah.
If Brad Brownell came out and railed ACC officiating and railed John Swaffer by name and said this is the dumbest conference in history and Clemson basketball's been being hosed for 65 years and we're sick and tired of it and we're not taking it anymore.
Yeah.
That he would have $1 million check on his doorstep when he got back here.
Oh, yeah, he gets an extension.
Yeah. But that's not his character. I mean, the guy's got, what, like 3 technicals in 9 years? It's not his character to do that.
And I respect the fact that he's able to keep his cool in those situations. That's great. But at the end of the day yesterday, as a Clemson basketball fan, you got to be sitting there just frustrated, just ticked off. And then to see the presser afterwards where he's just, I'm really disappointed in the way it ended. I mean, yeah, me too, Brad. Like, me too. Tell me about it, bud.
You know, and this is exactly what I'm talking about. Text from the 864, and we'll go to the phones after this. Don't blow a 16.
Greg. Hold on.
That's right. Don't blow a 16-point lead, and you won't have to worry about getting hosed. Don't get down by 18 points. NC State. NC State did some stuff he can't do. That's why I don't buy the notion that Clemson's the only team that did stuff he can't do. Don't blow a 16-point lead. You won't have to worry about getting hosed. Well, NC State, don't get down by 18, and you wouldn't have to put it in the officials' hands at the end of the game. The difference is the officials gave NC State what it asked for. And by the way, if you think Shelton Mitchell was out of control and Markell Johnson wasn't out of control, you're a fool. I'm sorry. He took a shot that was going perpendicular to the baseline of the basket, trying to hit a running bank shot over defense with 3 seconds left. That shot has been hit 0 times by not Hall of Famers. Or lucky ducks. Let's go to James and Rock Hill, who's up with us next. What's up, James?
What's going on, guys?
Oh, we're doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Side note, actually, I'm looking here and reading in my text. My buddy just sent me a text that said he swear he saw Josh Bell driving an 18-wheeler down the end
of the That's not true. That's not true.
Probably not.
Come on.
I asked for photographic evidence. If I get the photographic evidence, I will definitely send it to you.
Oh, man. You know, if it takes him more than a couple hours, I would blame Photoshop for that.
Oh, absolutely. but, yeah, yesterday, you can blame who you want to blame. I mean, yeah, he missed the call. It was definitely, I mean, I agree with you. I think if it was a foul, especially on that last play, he was on the ground. They should have checked. I mean, they should have inbounded in, and then you got maybe 5-6 seconds. You set up the defense, then you go from there. It just sucks. There's really, and you know, Brownell. That press conference yesterday. Just, and I think you should stay. But you know, on Twitter, you hear everything. Everybody wants him to go. I don't know if you should go, but I'm going to tell you something. When I was in high school, we had a coach that we absolutely loved. We all loved him so much. We won 3 games in 3 years, but we loved him, and we begged everybody to keep him. The year after I graduated, they got a new coach in, and they won 4 straight state championships. So sometimes you do have to cut ties, even if he's a good man. I'm not saying that we should get rid of Brownell, but I'm just saying we all need to kind of take a step back and look at the clear picture. Obviously, he's a great man, but is he the best thing for Clemson basketball?
Thanks, James. I appreciate the phone call. Look, I think he's done a pretty good job if you combine the last 3 years relative to the expectations of Clemson basketball. And I've said this. The first 6 years of his tenure, the first 5, he was in the worst facilities in the league. You can't recruit to that. The 6th year, he was playing in Greenville. In front of good crowds and all that. And I know those are excuses, but I think most rational administrators would agree, and I think the Clemson folks do agree, that he wasn't given the tools to really compete with the first 6 years he was here. Now, you've got NIT, tournament in, well in, and a year on the bubble. I've said that Clemson should be in the conversation for the NCAA tournament every year. I think that's a realistic minimal expectation for Clemson basketball. They're in the conversation this year. You can't fire somebody for doing what's the expectation. Now, you might think that the expectation should be higher than that. I'm just looking historically about... I'm just looking historically at what it is.
Historically, sure. But I think you can have, not a fire conversation, but you can have criticism based on what they had coming back and where they were preseason. They were a ranked team coming into the season.
Yeah, look, I looked at the KenPom rankings this morning. The best day in Clemson season terms of the KenPom rankings was the day that the season started. They ranked 14th. They finished 29th, 28th. They're 28th right now. I get it. That Clemson, I think this is a disappointing year. I do think it's a disappointing year. And Tiger Greg, I apologize. We're going to hold you through because I don't want to cut you off here. I want to give you some time to flesh this out. And if you want to call us, 654-ROARS, and we got Brian Edwards coming to talk Vegas in the next segment as well, but we'll get a couple phone calls if we need to. Hey, to me, it feels like people want Clemson to be a place where you go into the Sweet 16, and when you don't, then you should make a change. I don't think that's true. And also, I think in sports, we act like if you don't meet expectations one time, and I know it's not just one time, but one time, if you don't meet expectations one time, you got to go. You got to get somebody who's going to meet expectations every year without fail, and they're going to do it. I don't know that that's healthy either, and especially if you have the historical insignificance of Clemson basketball. Clemson basketball is very good right now in terms of historically maybe the best it's ever been in terms of a brand. We'll see. Hour two, more nonsense coming next.
Keeping our goal.